The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Brian Toomey in the studio. A good Saturday to look forward to as well, with good racing from Haydock. There's a good card at Goodwood as well. We also have flat racing from Beverley and Catterick, and we'll finish the day with Cartmel and Fosslass. Alongside all of that, it's also Irish 2000 Guineas Day at the Curragh, so plenty of racing to look forward to this Saturday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Good. Right, what a Saturday we've got coming up.
Yeah. Well, they just seem to just roll on and on, and obviously you've got the added excitement of the Scoop 6.
Yeah, up to £15 million this weekend.
Very nice. Gonna have to have a go.
Yeah. Well, it's almost impossible, I'm sure, but it's actually, I think it's a little bit easier this week, but we won't get bogged down by that. and we'll find out if it is when I'm a millionaire on Monday. But
exactly, yeah. Well, if I don't, like, you know, ever sort of see you back in work again, we know why.
Yeah, I'm still going to come to work. I'm just going to come in a chinchilla coat and drive a Ferrari to work and stuff like that. alongside the domestic stuff this weekend, we also have the Irish 2000 Guineas. So we'll just start with a quick look at that, because it's the reappearance of Kingman, or the return of Kingman. He's 8-11 to win the Irish 2000 Guineas, with a bit of cut in the ground as well. That's obviously in his favour. Do you see him bouncing back to winning ways in Ireland on Saturday?
Yeah, I do. As you just said off air there, Mark, I sort of, in regards of actually having a pick in a race, I don't actually have him, because it, to me, is all about Kingman, and to see now he's got conditions more in his favour, then it should be a pretty straightforward task. You know, a lot's made of sort of the way he moves, and that the underfoot conditions at the Curragh are going to, you know, suit him an awful lot better than they did at Newmarket. Just again, another very, very sort of interesting. I mean, it just, there's just so much action at the moment that it's hard to take it all in, and how on earth you're sort of going to sit there and watch everything tomorrow is, you know, you're going to have to be getting the old Sky Plus in action as well. But yeah, I'm not going to sort of sit here and put up a 8-11 favourite, but you have to. I mean, I'm quite interested in Jay Lyons' horse, Obliterator, as well. I know that there probably is sort of summed out, you know, about the grounds, about the going. Wouldn't want sort of too much rain. Not really sure what the conditions are doing in Ireland at the moment, but he's a horse that caught my eye back end of sort of last season at the Curragh, and then sort of obviously finished runner up to True Story at Newmarket in the field and stays. I don't know. He's just a horse that I have really got my own. I mean, 16-1 or thereabouts in the 2000 tomorrow. So, but really, it is all about Kingman, I think.
Yeah, Obliterator is 16-1 here at William Hill. It'd be interesting to see if Kingman gets back on the winning thread in the Irish 2000 Guineas. He obviously finished second in the English 2000 Guineas, and behind him in third place was Australia, who since that has been a popular favourite for the Epsom Derby. 4-6 at the moment for Australia, but we've seen a significant move in the betting for Geoffrey Chaucer, who's now 13-2, clear second favourite. We were 10-1 bar Australia at the back end of last week. So what do you make of the move on Geoffrey Chaucer?
Yeah, I think it's all about this sort of rumour that he apparently blitzed Australia in a gallop at home, and that seems to have been where the main move has come from. Obviously, he was quite unlucky in the Darrenstown Derby trial. It's highly unoriginal again, but I wouldn't have at this stage looked at the Derby in any great depth. It's still Australia, purely on what we know about him so far. I mean, the fact that he seems to be one of the only progenies of Ouija board that isn't displaying any temperament, and obviously, you know, in the Guineas, even though the winner's shifting across and sort of almost, he didn't flinch. You know, you watch it back and he just keeps sort of a dead straight line, and from all that we know about him, there's no surprise to see him that solid at the head of the market. I wonder if I'm a little bit biased because I was a massive fan of his mother, but every time I see him, I think, no. I honestly think that, you know, as Bally Doyle say, Australia is something very special. But then if you have got Geoffrey Chaucer working like that at home, then, wow, I mean, it does look as though it's going to be another O'Brien derby, really, doesn't it, on the shape of it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Australia, I think we mentioned before, he's sort of the only one of Ouija Board's progeny that actually raced as a two-year-old and just seems to be so much more sort of professional and straightforward in his attitude than the rest of them have been. Who knows? I mean, Geoffrey Chaucer now has some gamble to move him into second favourite. I know we'll probably end up covering the derby in a couple of weeks. I don't know, got a lot of homework to put in between now and then, but at this stage, just, I still can't see past Australia, even though it is quite boring.
Okay, Australia then still hard to get away from. It wouldn't be the first time that the Aidan O'Brien second string was to get the better of the first string in the derby either. We've also got a big race in France this weekend, the Prix d'Espahan, and a big clash between Cyrus de Zegler, who bounced right back to form last time, and Olympic Glory, who won the Lockinge last Saturday, trying to get two group ones in the space of 8 days. That should be a good clash as well, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should be amazing. And I mean, Cyrus, I mean, he's what an absolute warrior. You know, so many people had written him off, and it was hard to see really why he was being, you know, so written off, really. He was still, it's not like he was sort of hanging out the back of the TV at any stage. And I just, I know, obviously, the thing with Olympic Glory going for the two group ones in 8 days, but I would absolutely love to see Cyrus Zegel do this. I just think he's just, I don't know, he's one of those horses that just, it's quite sometimes quite hard to take a flat horse to your heart as much as you would sort of a seasoned national hunt campaigner, especially, obviously, for me. But Cyrus Zegel is one of those sort of flat formers that's galloped right into my heart. I mean, if you looking back, actually, you talked about the Lockinge there. I was slightly going off track after watching the Lockinge. I was actually thinking that I was just going to back Frazzano for the Queen Anne, purely because obviously we all know what happened with Declaration of War last year in the Lockinge, and then he bounced back right back to form in the Queen Anne. But it actually reminded me of horse that Aidan won the Queen Anne with in 2009, Haradison, sort of placed in the Lockinge and then go on to win the Queen Anne. It just seemed to be a lot more to come from that. But getting back on track, fascinating clash mark, of course, but my heart's ruling my head. And the way Cyrus sort of smashed Trev last time, then it's Cyrus for me.
Okay, yeah, he did bounce right back to form, an impressive victory last time, and like you say, he's one of the rare flat horses that keeps coming out every season, and you get an affinity to, isn't he?
So. Yeah, you know, he's a fantastic warrior.
Mm. Okay, anything else catch your eye before we move on to Saturday's action?
No, I think we'll crack on with Saturday, because there's quite a lot to discuss with Haydock, isn't there, really?
There is quite a bit to discuss, so we'll move on to that on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Haydock is going to be our focus on this edition of the podcast. Catherine's picked out three races for us. The 135, which is a Class 2 2-mile handicap. We've got the 240, which is the Temple Stakes, the big race on the card. It's a Group 2 contest and part of the British Champion Series. And we're going to finish off in the 310, which is the Cecil Frail Stakes, which is a fillies listed race over 6 furlongs. Before we start, there's a couple of things we need to clear up really on Saturday morning. What is the ground like? And obviously then you've got the draw to consider as well. It's a bit tricky at the moment when it's pouring down with rain and the going description is good to firm.
Absolutely, Mark. You took the words right out of my mouth. At this stage, it is almost impossible to preview races properly with Haydock. But look, you know, we'll have a go, and obviously we're going to factor in the sort of strange weather conditions. I saw our very own Ross Briley tweet something quite amusing just now about his Haydock under a roof, sort of the rest of the country or something. I don't know. I fail to see how it is firm. Good firm in places, but yeah. Look, you know, that's the going description they've given, but we have to factor in that I think they're due to get something like 12 mil, is it?
Yeah, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever it is now, I don't believe it is that now, but whatever it is now, it is likely to change anyway, so with that in mind, I'm not too worried about that for the first race. It's when we come to look at the Temple Stakes and then the listed fillies event. Obviously, they're over 5 and 6, and if you are going to get that much rain into the ground, then that's going to put high draws at a massive advantage. So looking at the first, there is a horse that interests me quite a lot in this mark, and that's John Joe Neal's Masquerading.
Okay.
Obviously, John Joe had a great year last year with his flat stayers, obviously well shot, winning the Ascot Stakes, and Tominator winning the Northumberland Plate. And I just wonder if they're taking a similar path with Masquerading. Looking back at his run at Kempton the last time out, he couldn't quite get to the winner when he was second, but he remained 6 lengths clear of the rest of the field. His last win was actually a year ago at Kempton in May 2013. My one concern would be if he did have one run over hurdles, and that was on heavy ground at Ascot. He didn't really sort of seem to like that too much. That would be the concern. But other than that, I just think he's... I think there's an awful lot more to come from this horse. And given the fact that, you know, John Joe Neal booking Graham Lee, that obviously Graham Lee rode Tominator to win the Northumberland Plate, I just think it's so hard, you know, when you just get sort of such a strong fancy for one race. Masquerading has sort of been on a shortlist of mine for a while. And, you know, you're almost caught between the devil and the deep blue sea because you've waited for him to run in a race of this nature for so long that you almost kind of... a blinkered to the rest of the field. Another, and it's not just because of my allegiance to the National Hunt game that I've deliberately picked these two, it's not. Guernsey Corps obviously beat Montessa 1 mile 6 in Haydock September 2012 when he was with Mark Johnston. It's now with Nicky Henderson. We last saw him at Du Toxter in the jumping spear on the 3rd of May when he was 6th of a firm, and obviously that's not, you know, It's not great jumping form really, but you just wonder again. You know, Nicky likes to sort of target all the flat staying sort of handicaps really that John Joe does as well. And you just wonder is this fella sort of being wound up for the, you know, something like the Ascot Stakes, which Lieutenant Miller obviously was third to Well Sharp in last year. I just think, well, again, won't really seem to have a massive problem with whichever side of the going we get, but you know, he does seem to show more promise on you know, good ground, firm ground, but I haven't seen anything in his action that would suggest that he won't handle a bit of cut. So my only doubt with Masquerading is the ground, but I'm hopeful that you're not going to get such a bog-like condition that he faced when he had to run over jumps. So I'm very, very, very keen, as you can tell, on the chances of Masquerading here.
Okay, Masquerading then. John Joe Neal trained Masquerading. Also a strong word for Nicky Henderson's courtesy call. You do know that we're on the flat here on Saturday.
I know. Yeah. People are like, oh my God. No, honestly, it is. It's just, yeah, Masquerading. I've had my eye on for a while, and I was very excited to see him pop up there.
Okay, Masquerading then in the 135 onto the big race of the day next, the 240. This is the Temple Stakes, which is a Group 2 over 5 furlongs, and it's part of the British Champions Series. We have betting on site for the Temple Stakes as well. Hot Streak, the 9-4 favourite at the time of recording. Soul Power, 3-1. 7-2 Pearl Secret, 11-2 for Kingsgate Native, 12-1 for Jack Dexter, 16s for Justin Ayo, and 20-1 or bigger prices. The rest. Just with regards to Soul Power, Eddie Lynham's going to leave a decision on his participation until tomorrow.
Yeah, I can understand that completely, obviously. I mean, if we were talking about this race ongoing that we knew was firm or good to firm, he'd be an absolute shoo-in, wouldn't he? But like I said before, Mark, it's so hard to sort of put up. We're going to have to sort of maybe look at the race in two spheres, which is kind of what I've done really. You know, at first when you look at it, it's almost like a rematch of the Palace House Stakes, isn't it? You know, you've got Soul Power, Kingsgate Native, Hot Streak, Justinium, and Pearl Secret. Again, Pearl Secret, if the ground was soft, you'd be like, oh, an air towards that. But then if the ground is soft, Pearl Secret's drawn one, which you're always wanting a high draw over the five and six in soft ground. So that, again, causes a bit of a headache. Kingsgate Native obviously won the race last year. He's only up £2. He won the race of 110. He's off 112 now. He wasn't obviously raised for his run behind Soul Power, where he sort of nabbed second in the closing stages of the Power Stakes. Where's the hood again? Does seem. I mean, he's a bit of an odd horse, isn't he? He's a bit of a strange character. Obviously, Eddie Lyman can totally understand. It's going to be no surprise to see Soul Power actually come out tomorrow morning, is it really? And it's not going to be like, oh. I know it's quite unoriginal, but I can totally see why Hot Streak is the favourite. Obviously, whether it's good or whether it's soft, he's going to handle both. If it's soft, then he has got the fact that he's coming out of stall seven in his favour. And if you look back at his overall profile, then obviously he was the impressive winner of the Roses Stakes at York last season. Cornwallis Stakes Ascot, obviously that was run on pretty soft ground. He's getting the weight from Soul Power. Ashton Murphy on board, obviously he can't claim the three. But he just looks, even if you're cutting up the field with all the doubt, he's still ticking every box. I am struggling to see past him slightly. It's sort of nine three-year-olds have won since 1980, and I'm fully expecting in the morning to see what Haydock say or not. You are going to have some cut in the ground. With all things considered, I have to go with the favourite Hot Streak.
Yep. I can completely see where you're coming from. Soft ground's not a problem. He's won on good to soft, won on soft before. If it does become soft, draw seven is a pretty good draw. He ran a blinder on reappearance as a three-year-old against the older horses, which is always a tricky task. And yeah, I think he's, of all of them, no matter what the conditions are, he's pretty solid, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, completely. And just, I mean, if you look back at the Palace House, I mean, he was considering as well the way sort of he set off, he really did sort of pull in the early stages, and it was quite a big run really with that in mind. And yeah, it just looks as though, I mean, Kevin Ryan, his last winner was the Grey Gatsby, wasn't it, at York? But that's not concerning me too much. But yeah, it's highly unoriginal, but he ticks every box, even with the doubt about the ground.
Okay, Hot Streak then, the selection in the Temple Stakes. The final race we're going to look at is the 3.10 at Haydock, which is the Cecil Frail Stakes, which is a filly's listed race over six furlongs, 15 of them in the lineup here. Quite a tricky race. But what are your thoughts here, Catherine?
It is tricky, Mark, completely tricky. Obviously, Joyosa is always going to catch your eye on her very famous half-brother. Last season again is dropping back to six here, which I think, the fact that she is quite a buzzy filly, I think that is going to suit her an awful lot better. Obviously, she's drawn 8 of 15. It's not, there's not a massive problem in the ground. You just wonder with Joyosa, are you sort of carried away with all the hype? I saw Gathering Power win at Nace at the end of April, and she interests me an awful lot. I thought there was more to come with that. If the rain stays away, really, from the draw point of view, I would put her in it. You've got a horse like Spinatrix, who is just so consistent, just touched off in a listed contest on reappearance, should strip her to here. Again, the draw would be absolutely ideal, drawn 14. And there's obviously the German horse, Gracia Director. She was second in this last year. And the horse that really kind of catches my eye, Mark, is Night Song of John Gosden's. But you know, she's dropping back to six. There's an awful lot of speed in her pedigree. There's an awful lot of sort of, you know, five furlong, six furlong specialities in her pedigree. But my problem is if the rain is there by the morning, which we fully expect it to be, she's in stall two. which is going to be really a complete disadvantage. So for the purposes of the of the weather, if we're looking at a haydock on good ground or good firm ground, then I would be very interested in John Gosden's filly Night Song. But if we're going to be looking at the case, which we think we will be in the morning, of the heavy ground, or soft ground at least, I would kind of, you have to put Joyous into the picture, the fact that she is dropping back and it's probably going to suit her a lot better. So she's drawn 8 of 15. But also, I'm pretty sure that Spinatrix is going to be in the shake-up, and especially if you've got any cut in the ground, the store 14. So it's very, very, very hard to put up a confident selection in this, you know, especially over 6, the draw is so marked when the rain gets in. So I'm going to have to split two ways.
So Spinatrix if it's soft.
Yeah.
And Night Song if it's firm.
Yes.
Right. it's amazing how the going can range from one extreme to the other in the space of 12 hours or 24 hours. But fair enough. That's probably the way we're going to have to consider all of the racing at Haydock. Let's just have a quick summary of your thoughts, Catherine, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. So whatever the going at Haydock tomorrow, I'm jumping through hoops to see Masquerading in the first. In the Temple Stakes, obviously... again, the ground, Sol Powell, can expect to see him being withdrawn in the morning if there is that cut. If we get the good ground, your firm ground, Sol Powell is your absolute standing dish. If there's any cut, then Hot Streak is just, it basically ticks every box, ground included, draw included. So with that in mind, with the weather, it's going to be Hot Streak as a selection, and that, and as we've just touched on in the listed fillers event, with good or good to firm ground, it's John Gosden's Night Song, and with the cut, it's Spinatrix.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Catherine. Good luck with your selections, and enjoy the racing on Saturday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Saturday's racing from Haydock. You'll hear that and the rest of the day's action on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:25 PM. It'll be Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Brian Toomey in the studio. We have Temple Stakes Day at Haydock. We also have a good card at Goodwood, which contains a couple of listed races. There's racing from Beverley and Catterick on the flat in the afternoon as well. Two meetings in the evening, one from Cartmel and one from Fosslass. So an evening of jumps racing to look forward to, and it's also Irish 2000 Guineas Day at the Curragh. Plenty of racing to look forward to this Saturday. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.